Throughout the summer, the lectionary will take us through a cycle of stories telling the saga of David, one of the most complicated figures of the Hebrew Bible. Last week, we listened to the cries of the Israelites, who wanted the prophet Samuel to appoint and crown a king over them, so that they might become stronger and more unified peoples, a nation to contend with. It's hard to be the people of God and to live as God would have us live. They had been let down by many of the judges who led their armies. They wanted something different, so they asked for a king. God listened, and God sighed, because God knew that the solution the people were asking for would only cause more problems. But for better or for worse, in this case for worse, God gave us free will. And so, despite Samuel's warnings, Saul was crowned king, and the people cheered. And then, of course, just as God knew would happen, just as Samuel warned, the people stopped cheering because Saul broke the laws of God and disappointed the people. It turned out that he was only human, after all. It took only one generation to prove that no king could stand in for God, because no one human could ever compare to God. Saul was not a great king, and his sons would not have been great heirs. I imagine that the prophet Samuel could sympathize, at least a little, because his own sons turned out not to follow in their father's footsteps either. I also imagine that even though Samuel knew that the story of King Saul wouldn't end well, that he still hoped something would change, and that he'd be proven wrong, and that Saul would lead the people well. I imagine that Samuel let out a weary sigh and bit back the words, "I told you so." A reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 15, verses 34, through chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, but Samuel grieved over Saul. And the Lord was sorry that Saul had been made king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I named you." So Samuel did as the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And Samuel said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And Jesse said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." Jesse sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. I love that Samuel grieves over the decline of Saul and his loss of the support of the people, because it tells us that Samuel cared about the people of Israel, even the ones who disappointed him, and he wanted what was best for them, even when they hurt him. We've all grieved over many things this past year and change, through a pandemic and social unrest and political division and acts of violence, to say nothing of personal losses. We have grieved because we wanted something better, something closer to God's dreams for our lives and our communities. If we didn't care about people, these past 15 months wouldn't have hurt so much. But we do, and so they did. So Samuel refuses to give in to his despair and disappointment, and when God calls him to journey to Bethlehem, Samuel goes. His people are reeling, but Samuel knows that even this setback isn't the end. The people deserve something better. The nation deserves a leader who listens to God. Somehow, the monarchy deserves a second chance. Because even though Saul had disappointed God and Israel, God was not willing to give up on the people whom God loves. I wish I could see the world through God's eyes. People's dreams and fears, the love in their hearts, the brightness of their souls, all the possibilities before them. In God's eyes, no one is past redemption. No one is unlovable. No one falls outside of the vastness of God's grace. God still loves Saul, even while God guides Samuel to the person who will take Saul's throne. Because God sees the world differently than we do, God is able to see oceans in drops of water, great civilization in motes of dust, forests in single seeds, a movement to change the world in something as small as a mustard seed. Because God sees the world differently than we do, God passes over Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah and Jesse's other sons, and instead reaches out to bless David, even though God knows that David will become just as much and arguably more of a disappointment to God and to the people. Even though God knows that David will do terrible things. Even though God knows that David's heart is not pure. Even though, for that matter, God knows that I personally consider David to be my least favorite character in the Bible. Not that my opinion is ever going to affect God's decisions. I like to think that God sees all the different futures that could await David, based on all the choices God knows that David will make, but also based on all the decisions God knows that David could make. I like to think that one of those futures could have been bright, and beautiful, and bold, and faithful. In the end, we are only human. It is Samuel's very human hands that anoint David's very human head with oil. But it is because we are human that this anointing happens. Because we want something better, even when the paths to get there go against those currently in positions of power. After all, Saul was still the king of Israel, and Samuel had gone to find a successor in secret. It is because we are human that Samuel isn't willing to give up, and it is because we are human that David finds the courage to agree to this wild scheme, even though he was a child and could have had no idea what his future would hold. It is because we are human that Jesse called out all of his sons and asked them to be candidates for the face of a movement to take control of the throne and essentially depose the current king. It is because we are human that all of these figures work together to challenge authority and defend the ways of God and risk everything and change the world because there is a better way. Even though we will, all of us, stumble and trip and fail, we still see that there is a better way. We still see the light of God shining bright in what often feels like an endless night. We still know that God's will could be done on earth. We still know that humanity is worth struggling for. And so, because we are human, we keep marching towards that goal. It is because we love the world that we want to change it. We're not giving up. We are planting a new seed and trusting that it will grow.